You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Earlier this month, lawmakers in the Wisconsin Assembly passed a bipartisan bill that would require political candidates and groups to be transparent about using AI technology in their advertisements. In particular, this would involve generative artificial intelligence used to create audio and video of people saying stuff that they never did. An expert on AI ethics will join us in a couple to talk about the past, present, and future consequences of AI in elections. First, we'll talk to one of the co-authors of Assembly Bill 664 about the contents and progress of the bill. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you worried about these artificially generated videos, pieces of audio that might portray a candidate saying something that they never said? Have you encountered it yourself? What kind of regulations would you want to see? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Clinton Anderson is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 45th Assembly District. That includes portions of Green and Rock County. Representative Anderson, thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate having this conversation.
Can you spell out this bill a little further? What would it do to regulate the use of artificially generated images, video, and audio in an election campaign?
So this bill would require a disclaimer on anything substantially generated by artificial intelligence when it comes to political ads with audio and video. So this is something that we've kind of talked about with a bipartisan group of legislators for several months. We're coming up to the 2024 election cycle, and we were a little worried about the advancement of AI in elections, so we thought, let's do something together.
What were some of the specific concerns that led you and your colleagues to tackle this issue?
It's transparency. We've seen some of the ads in the national news about using AI, and we, for example, one of the DeSantis super PACs used a AI-generated voice of Donald Trump bashing Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, and while he did write those things, it was misleading. We want to make sure that we have transparency in our elections, and that's something that both sides of the aisle have come to an agreement on.
I understand the penalty for violating this law, if it's passed, would be a $1,000 fine. Is that per ad or per message or per caller who received that message, which could multiply it a lot?
Yeah, it's per violation. That is for the disclaimer being left off alone. And I know folks are really worried about the negative aspect of AI. So there is still a section of statute which could be litigated. It's 12.05. So if there is false statements in elections, there is a section of statute which could be litigated. It hasn't been yet, but with the advancement of AI, I think this would be a time that it could be.
Now, if I'm a political group and I'm raising thousands and thousands of dollars and I want to run something, you know, the day before Election Day, $1,000 doesn't sound so bad to me. Is this going to be enough to deter anything?
We think it's going to be enough to really have a conversation about, you know, if we need to go further. That was the conversation we had with our other authors was, let's see where this goes. We want something on the books now. We know that this might need changes in the future. We don't know what the 2024 election cycle looks like. And yeah, there are going to be bad actors, but that's, you know, if you're doing a horrible negative ad, there is Section 12.05. So it's not just the penalty. It's going for the on the ethics side. It is about the negative ads, which is in the section of statute already.
Gotcha. And why a fine and not a ban on these AI generated false videos?
We didn't want this to get overturned in the middle of an election cycle. We thought that that might run into some First Amendment issues. So we decided that we would do a disclaimer model. And ours is unique because it's the only one in the country that would be content neutral. So it doesn't matter if it's a positive or negative ad. If you use AI, you have to disclose it. So we didn't want to have this be the Wild West in October of 2024.
As I mentioned, this has passed the Assembly, some bipartisan authorship and sponsorship and support here. What's the timeline now? What are your hopes for it to go through the Senate, which I think it has not done yet, to the governor and become law?
Yeah, my understanding is that it should be on the next Senate calendar. We'll obviously wait and see once it's official, but that is what I've been told. I am excited to see that pass the Senate and then go to the governor's desk and become law.
Representative Anderson, thanks again for joining us.
Yes, not a problem.
That's Representative Clinton Anderson, Democratic representative for Wisconsin's 45th Assembly District. That includes portions of Green and Rock counties. He joins us to talk about a Wisconsin bill that would require political candidates and groups to label ads that use AI technology. Now we'll talk to a Wisconsin expert on the ethics of artificial intelligence about the consequences of using AI in election contexts. Robin Zabrowski is a professor of cognitive science at Beloit College, where she chairs the cognitive science program and has a joint appointment in philosophy, psychology, and computer science. Robin, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, something I've learned from talking to you in the past, Robin, is we should probably talk about what we mean when we're talking about AI. That covers a lot of ground. What's being covered in this law here seems to be a particular type, if I have this right, generative AI. Could you talk about what we're talking about here?
Yeah, so generative AI is sort of the current AI hype. So it's the art bots like DALL-E and the text generators, things like ChatGPT. These are the things that train on an enormous body of human-produced work and then mimic that work as their own output. So it's, and of course, now we have the new video versions of this that was just teased by OpenAI recently.
So it starts with a prompt from a human. So I might say, hey, AI program, give me a couple lines in the voice of candidate A saying they hate puppies, right? And then that would generate some audio. I'd pick the best one that comes out of that, and then I could go make phone calls or to voters or ads with it.
That's right. Yes.
That anti-puppy message would be very harmful. Now, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this proposed regulation? We were just talking to Representative Anderson about. Do you think this could help deter some of this behavior?
I love that people are finally looking to government regulation for some of this. The tech companies have shown time and again they won't police themselves. There has to be regulation. It has to be regulation with teeth. Like, there has to be actual consequences for violating it. I'm really worried about that $1,000 fine bit. I know you asked about that, and I can see now why they made it kind of a weak consequence to be sure that the bill passes. But oof, that's, I mean, there's a saying that if something, if the punishment for a crime is a fine, that just means the crime is legal for rich people. And in an election, you know, everyone that's involved in trying to do these sorts of influence campaigns is going to have the money to pay that fine.
Right. The argument might be, well, is there a First Amendment defense? Hey, generating an AI line in somebody's voice? It's a speech act. It's free speech. It's covered under the First Amendment. Do you worry that it would be tough to pass a law along those lines, actually stopping these things or having more strict punishments?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, there are already laws against like voter suppression and election disruption, but it's not obvious that those laws are at all prepared to deal with the kinds of disruptions we will see with generative AI, I think.
Now, this is a big election year, not just in the United States, but I think there's a record number of big elections happening in countries around the world. What are your worries about the use of this generative AI to create a false audio, maybe even false videos in this global election year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the real problem is that once the damage is done, the damage is done. Once that lie is out there, trying to then take it back is extremely difficult. We know this with all kinds of disinformation. And there are some ways that, like, you don't even need the AI hype. It's just, it's an election year. Disinformation is happening in all different modalities, and that's bad. But AI makes it much easier to convince people who maybe think of themselves as already a little savvy, and so maybe don't have their guards up quite as much as they probably need to. And yeah, we're seeing it all over the world, right? I think it was India just had a big problem with basically a deep fake voice thing as well, I think. And their election was, in fact, interfered with, if I recall. And so everybody's scrambling, and it's not clear that we're scrambling early enough.
I saw, and I wish I could attribute this, but somebody made the point that, okay, social media gives us a very effective distribution channel for misinformation. AI is going to give us an amazingly efficient production channel for creating false information. Instead of, you know, needing a bunch of dudes in Macedonia or something doctoring up phony news stories, AI can really crank this out almost infinitely. How big a concern is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a real concern. I think in some ways we're overestimating some of the video stuff. Like, there are still a lot of tells. The video deepfakes aren't great, really. And so in some ways, like, I keep thinking back to the bigger disinfo campaigns that I've lived through. Like, I'm always remembering this, what were they, the Swift Voters for Truth or whatever it was. Like, the disinformation damage is going to be done. And yes, the generative AI is poised to do a good amount of damage. But the videos, especially, if you look closely, like, I know there was a ton of hype just a day or two ago when OpenAI released their Sora demo. But if you look closely at that, you can actually see people with still too many fingers. There was definitely a dog with three ears. And those were the things that they very carefully curated to release as their promos. So there are ways in which we're still looking at the tells that the generative AI has had since it went public. Count the teeth, count the fingers, and you're going to see some messiness that should help indicate.
Yeah, but if I looked at like text generated by AI like 3 or 4 years ago, it had all sorts of tells that made it pretty obvious this was not human created. It seems like a lot of ground has been made up there. And could video move as quickly?
I kind of hope not, but it's possible. The problem is there's going to be a hard cap on video, on any of it, really. Some of the ways that it works, it means that what it's doing is it's just taking every piece of its data set and it's saying, okay, you want to produce a dog that's running through the streets? I'm going to make my best guess as to what a dog is and what a street is. And there's a hard cap to that, right? Like, it doesn't know anything about anything. So it's not like it knows what a dog is. It just has a whole bunch of examples. And so there's probably going to be a hard cap on how good these things can get. The art bots that have been out for a year or so now, I don't think they've improved a ton.
Robin Zabrowski is with us from Beloit College. We're talking with her about generative artificial intelligence, how it might affect the future of our elections. Some artificially generated voice messages so far seem to be the biggest example already used in the U.S. in 2024. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions or concerns you want to bring up about the use of this artificially generated content in elections? Do you want to see regulations from, say, the state government, as we just heard, fines for politicians or groups that use these kind of things without saying, hey, this is made up stuff? Do you want to see social media outlets do more to regulate this kind of content? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Robin Zabrowski, professor of cognitive science at Beloit College. We're talking to her about the use of AI, especially generative AI in elections, how we might protect ourselves against generated political misinformation. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you worried about this? Do you want to see somebody regulate the spread of this kind of information? Things that might make it look like or sound like a politician said something that they never said, for example? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Robin, big picture on artificial intelligence. Now, the stock market and other markets are booming today. This company, NVIDIA, just set a record for an increase in the market value. The things I'm reading are saying it's because of AI and their optimism about the future of making money from AI. Looks like industry is going full steam ahead. Is anybody regulating this? Who would you want to see regulating this to make sure we don't have more and more problems based on this rise?
Yeah, so I am skeptical that the AI hype train is going to go for much longer. I feel like everyone's talking about using it to do things, but like, it seems to me that it's not actually providing actual value over the work that humans do in most cases. I think a lot of people are buying the hype that it will do that, and they're saying, oh, I can see now that if I fire all these humans and replace them with AI, I'm going to save a ton of money. And it's just not obvious to me that's all going to play out the way they think it is. So I guess we're going to, you know, maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I'm not convinced. But certainly there's got to be regulation for certain industries because in journalism, something that I'm sure affects you, journalism is laying people off left and right, but then they're becoming deeply embarrassed by the AI generated stories they're publishing because they're nonsense and filled with like incorrect mm-hmm. facts of things.
Do you have more worries about misuse of the AI stuff we have so far than a positive use case for most of the things that are out there?
Almost certainly, yeah. Like, I keep thinking about it, and the longer I think about it, the less convinced I am that there is a very good reason for these tools to even be, like, out and about. We're seeing a ton of worker displacement for it, and I don't think that they can actually do the jobs that the people being replaced do. So I'm way more worried about sort of the misuse rather than the actual use, because I'm not sure yet what the actual use is going to turn out to be.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Tom is with us in Oconomowoc. Tom, hi.
Hi, how are you? You know, the last statement just made by your guest is exactly what I'm thinking, and I'm suggesting a really perhaps oversimplified solution. Upon the birth of each child and time to time, we register that person's image and name as a national copyright. If somebody abuses it by creating this artificial circumstance, don't just make it a small fine. Make it a criminal prosecution. I'm sorry if that's going to crowd our courts. I'm a lawyer. I'd like the business.
Tom, thanks for the call. So basically lifetime name, image, and likeness rights so that, say, artificial intelligence things can't scrub our data and use it for gain in the future. Robin, what do you think of the notion?
I kind of love it, to be honest. I really do think that part of the problem is that people don't recognize, like the people who believe that this is just going to keep getting better and better, don't recognize that the data sets that they're trained with already are, you know, they've been used up. And now the places that those data sets came from are being populated with AI generated stuff. And so it's not like real people are necessarily making new data to train these sets. And it just absolutely seems to me that they're going to hit a hard limit without people opting in. And I love the caller suggestion that you just say, no, this is my image, my everything, and you can't use it. I think that would be fantastic.
Tom, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Robin, I wanted to get your thoughts on social media platforms. Now, in the news lately, we've had AI-assisted things where it puts Taylor Swift's head on porn images. Basically, it's happened to other celebrities. Big questions about whether X, formerly Twitter, is doing much or anything to prevent this. I could see these fake political messages coming up on social media platforms. Do you see social media platform providers being part of the solution here and setting better guidelines and enforcement for these kind of artificially generated images or political disinformation?
Yeah, they absolutely should be doing more. And I know that when X was still Twitter, behind the scenes, they worked kind of endlessly to reduce all kinds of disinformation, not just in the US, but all over the world. And it's not crazy to think that X became X and was purchased in part to undo some of that, right? To loosen those regulations. So in addition to stronger government regulation, I think that those platforms have a huge responsibility to control some of that disinformation. And again, I don't think any of these tech companies, not the ones releasing the AI models or the social media platforms, they're not going to police themselves.
And I want to take a few minutes, Robin. When we're talking about AI, most of what we encounter in our daily lives seems to be this generative AI. You put in a prompt, it gives you the text or the image or the audio, maybe the video. What other realms of AI, artificial intelligence, do you have your eye on? It's something maybe we should be keeping an eye on, maybe thinking about regulating.
there is all kinds of stuff that's been in use now for quite a while that I think actually the generative AI, the best thing it's done so far is raise people's awareness. And I know that there are now more regulations in the works. The Justice Department, I think, is paying more attention. But there have been algorithms that have been sentencing people in courts for quite a while now, and they've been proprietary. So people can get a harsher sentence for the same crime. And when they ask why, they don't get an answer because the algorithms are not shared. And so I love that the Justice Department is finally starting to pay attention to all different instances of AI and not just this generative stuff.
How important is that issue of transparency when we have a black box in a recommendation algorithm or a sentencing algorithm or things like that, and nobody can necessarily explain why the output comes out? What kind of transparency would you like to see?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, certainly I don't think you should be able to be sentenced in a court and not see why you were sentenced. But it goes further than that, right? Like I teach my college students that they're stuck with like algorithms that are screening their resumes now at every job, and they don't know what the algorithms are or what they're looking for or why they may fail those passes. I think companies should have to disclose when they're using those tools. And that way people can know what is happening, because, you know, like that's their livelihood to get these jobs. And again, I think that there needs to be much, much greater widespread regulation of all of these kinds of technologies.
Robin, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Robin Zabrowski, professor of cognitive science at Beloit College. She chairs the cognitive science program there and has a joint appointment in philosophy, psychology, and computer science. We talked to her about how AI-generated content might impact elections this year and in the future, how we can protect our democracy as that technology continues to develop. Earlier, we talked to State Assembly Representative Clinton Anderson about legislation that would put a fine on political groups that run fake generated images and audio clips without disclosing that they're doing that.